flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And with that, the first agenda item, I'd like us to take a moment of silence.
Kennedy.
Present.
William Binney.
Here.
Jack Pittman.
Here.
Victor Sarmiento.
Here.
And John Thomas Marge is excused.
I'm sure you have a quorum.
You have a quorum.
I have a question. How many members are we supposed to have when we are fully
with members
seven.
Seven.
Okay. And how are we doing as far as replacing not only Bob Wieners, who's tremendous loss, but we also have.
The clerk's office is putting it in the paper. It should be running in the paper this week and next week.
We also have to replace Victor.
Right.
And Jack.
Correct. And Mike.
Just because I don't know when your terms expire.
March 31st.
March 31st.
That's actually only one more meeting. So we need to have replaced those in hand before then. So when did you say that the publication is going in?
They were running in the paper this week and last week.
I hope that will give us enough time.
It usually does because they want to bring it to council on the week of March 20th to appoint the members.
Everybody had a chance to read the minutes of the November meeting.
Yes.
Well, the light page.
We are the lights.
Are there any observations concerning said minutes?
No.
Anybody have anything to offer? If not, then we will consider the privilege. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
So let's see, we have an old item that's been going around for what you do. What's the status of the underground wire ordinance? Who can tell us about that? That was sent to Mr. Matthews as of November.
I think what we're going to do is Nestor, the building department has it, is going to review it, and you folks are going to request of the building department a meeting scheduled here so that he could come and you folks could kind of remediate it, if you will. You two could talk it through. My recollection was that they had liked it when they saw it. Now, whether or not that still holds true remains to be seen. But I think the next move is for you folks to formally invite the building department and the Lord Nestor as the director of community development to come to your next meeting, and then we put it on the agenda to discuss and move it down to the next level. Did you folks have a written resolution? You would want the building department to support that, to go to council? I'm not sure if they take it to council or if you take it to council. I'm not sure on the formalities of that. But certainly,
no, they take it to council.
That's not a big deal. But if you'd like, that's your wish. We can certainly send Nestor an email requesting his presence at the next meeting to put it on the agenda.
In view of the fact that the composition of the committee is going to change in April, would that be a good idea, or should we do it a month later?
I agree that this is not my choice. This is your decision internally as to whether you want to wait for a new set of folks to come on board, give them the opportunity to review the resolution so that they're up to speed on what they would be taking to the council as a resolution, versus the folks that have been well entrenched in the idea but are now leaving the board. So, it's what I would say. So, it's entirely up to you folks. How are you funding?
I would say if Nestor and the building department could make the next meeting, they ought to make the next meeting, and we ought to talk about it. And if it, frankly, from what I see and from what I hear about them, I don't expect that it's going to be some big debate. I think it's going to be essentially agreeing what was already put down on paper, and then just as a group, the building committee and the building department and the water and sewer advisory committee making this presentation. Now, this has been on the books, what, how many years? I don't think we have to wait and bring two, three or four other guys up to speed on the same thing. I think if we're ready to go and everybody agrees, especially the building department, because they're the technical people and especially our staff, you got to just go ahead with it. And if for some reason we get hung up and it's going to take us 2 months to really come up with an answer, well, at that time, then of course the people will be on and they can call. So, but, you know, then they can come up and speak all the time. But I would.
What's your thing?
Wait.
Okay, Rebecca, would you make that invitation, please?
Yes.
I guess that's you. Was this your parting shot? Or?
No. I don't have much to say with pharmaceuticals because the way it had been left was that the sheriff's department, I understood, took the public position that they were going to start being receptacles for pharmaceuticals to be disposed of, and I haven't heard an announcement to that effect from them. And then they've had a shuffle at the top in a way. Major O'Brien's position has changed there as Chief Look is on sick leave. So Major O'Brien moved up, basically. So I need to talk to their public relations people, and Victor here gave me a reference within the department of Colonel Dion. Corporal Dion. And so I'll take care of that before the next meeting. What I've got here is just a layout of the, this is a needles disposal kit that can be obtained at Walgreens for $4.99. And I understand that's the complete cost of it, including the shipping cost. You have a cylindrical container here to put your needles in. It's closed up. That goes in this box, which is the shipping box, and the packaging looks like this. If you're looking for one, or you can be a reference to how, you know, to other citizens if they're in a position of wanting to do that. I was I was fortunate because they had an early product special, so I got my money back on this kit, but I don't see it in their discount books now, so I think it's $4.99, folks. And so Sharp's equivalent, the recognized medical disposal people that are behind this product. So I'm glad we've got a quorum to have a meeting because it's been laid out here for a month or so. Any questions about that? Okay. Have a look at it if you wish afterwards.
The next item on the agenda is the Robert's Rules of Order discussion. This came up because I'm trying to remember why this is wrong.
Simply wanted to put it out on the table, I guess is the way to put it, that for members of the committee, that certain employees, being John, Richard, and Becca, are the designated city staff by council, I guess, to be representing the city with you folks. And so the appropriate method of communication would be through one of them. That's pretty short, but not a big deal. And all we would be saying then is that if you can, try and communicate with those three. And I guess in my case, you can communicate with me in lieu of Richard. As opposed to other city staff you may run into in Publix or make a phone call to or email to for whatever purpose or reason of an item that you feel they are best suited to address, but it should come through the appropriate channels, meaning Becca, Richard, John, and that's about the extent of it. It's not a big deal. It's not meant to be an action of any magnitude. It's just and then some of the other things that might be appropriate, and we kind of talked with Jack a little bit last month about this topic, that might fall under Robert's Rules of Order that I'm not familiar with in terms of your committee, but if the meeting is scheduled to start at 3 o'clock, what's an appropriate time to say nobody else is coming, let's go? Because last month, for example, Jack and his presentation were the only committee member that came, and yet we had Juan, myself, Becca, and our presenter, being Randy Selesky, the manager of water distribution, because we were going to demonstrate backflow prevention devices. There was 4 staff members and 1 committee member, and we waited until 3:15 because we thought that was an appropriate period of time to accommodate whatever. But I don't know if there's a formal number. I don't know if at 3 o'clock, if nobody's here, we're done, or if it's appropriate to wait till 3:15. That's the type of thing. And, of course, Robert's Rule of Order simply would, and I don't even know if such a thing is included in it, but it simply is the appropriate and proper etiquette in terms of holding a public meeting, of which this is. Now, one of the other things that might fall under that purview is if we don't have a quorum, we don't have a meeting, we don't have a recording, and I'm sure that's something you're all not quite familiar with. And under those conditions, what's appropriate to you folks would then, if we ask Jack, would you like to hang out and do anything? And that's up to the committee at that point. You can't vote on anything. You can't make any hard decisions on anything because you don't have a quorum. So it would be up, let's say 3 showed up as opposed to 4. If we don't have a quorum, then what are we going to do? Do we chit-chat about politics or do we go back to work? So those are the kinds of things. That's the only reason that's on this piece of paper today. It's just to put those things out there for your thoughts and discussion.
Well, in the past, what has happened is if there is not a committee and there's 2 or 3 members and they want to sit and discuss, they can't vote on anything.
Right.
But if they want to have a discussion of anything, they could still take place, but no.
It's not recorded.
It's not recorded and it's not, no voting.
It's unofficial.
Maybe Bill Rennie could help us with this. What are the councils, for example, supposing they're having a council meeting and not enough people turn up for a quorum?
I don't ever recall that happening.
Okay.
We always showed up.
Would they wait?
But
prudent from other times.
Right now, I would say 5 minutes on. If you don't have a quorum, by 5 minutes after the hour, meeting, you don't have a meeting. Unless somebody had contacted the secretary and said, look, I have a problem, I'm going to be here at 10 after. So if you knew you were going to have a quorum when that person showed up, then I'd run it to that time.
Like I'm waiting for my instructions.
I just said there's no meeting. And if you want to sit down and have a discussion, it would have no bearing on the utility committee. And I don't know whether we have any sunshine problems saying, but you've got to talk. I mean, like, if we don't have a meeting, but we're in a public with the public and we talk about a public issue,
yeah,
that may be all right. I'm not sure. But I wouldn't prolong waiting for people to be here late. You know what time we're supposed to be here. I don't think anybody lives out of town. And that's where I'm sorry.
And I mean, Rebecca's reachable by phone. Everybody has a phone. No reason why a person couldn't call up and say, you know, I'm not going to make it.
Or I'm going to be running a few minutes late.
Or I'm going to be half an hour late, you know, by which time I'm going to look and say, well, okay, well,
today was a very appropriate example of that. You thought you'd be here a few minutes earlier, but you got tied up. Yeah. And you thought you'd be here a few minutes earlier, but Belterra was apparently a nightmare. So, there you go. It can happen. And it does happen.
You know, but
so, do you folks, is 5 minutes agreeable to you folks? We're going to follow whatever you decide.
I think 5 minutes is a bit short.
Yeah, okay.
I like your idea of 15.
We only waited 15 because we, you know, we wanted the whole thing. Poor Jack was sitting here with all his goodies. We had a presentation all set up. So you tell me, what's fair for you?
Well, if you want 50 minutes, I have no problem with that. I'm just telling my opinion. I think
sure, we split the numbers. You can go for 10.
What do you think?
I think the 5 minutes will work, if especially if Rebecca got the confirmation, email confirmation that a particular person is going to be attending. So I think 5 minutes is acceptable.
Let's make it 10.
All right.
So if everybody has agreed and nobody's opposed, we'll go with 10.
I got you.
All right.
Thank you. Comment on the same subject.
Yes, sir.
We are 5 in number, are we not now?
Correct.
All right. And does the quorum number change? Would that be reduced with a committee of 5 from the committee of 7?
It's supposed to be a committee of 7.
Correct, but that's not our existence. Where our existence right now is made of 5 members, I believe. So do we still need the 4 for a quorum?
I think the appropriate answer, and I agree with the fact that your numbers determine a quorum, may be predicated on the full staff being here. But is that how often is that going to likely happen? 100% of the time or something less? I'm guessing something less. I'd like, with your permission, I'd like to take this to Virginia and let our legal folks give us the appropriate answer.
Sure.
Because I think it's a majority of members present. I don't think it's
not
a
majority of members present.
Well, out of 5 members, 3
you have
present
members on the that are
currently on this board.
There.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. Is it Jack the only one here? You have to be the one. Yes. outside of it. 3 out of 5 would be a quorum, in my opinion, but 5 is a quorum number. But let's let somebody who really can research that.
Let's get expert advice on that.
Yes.
Right. We're going to do Robert's Rule if we don't want to make it up.
Right.
That's right.
All right.
It must come up.
Leeway and authority we all have.
It obviously comes up in has come up in the past.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
One other thing. Is there any problem that is there any problem sending an email maybe 2 days or a day before the meeting asking if anyone doesn't plan on being at the meeting, please respond?
I usually send out those emails. I sent it out a little bit earlier this week.
Oh, and I think that worked out great. So, if you'll continue to do that.
Okay.
I noticed that there's no item on here for public participation.
It's on the reverse side.
Oh, it's on the reverse?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Our intention was, I think you will remember, that so that the public wouldn't get tired listening to interminable debates about things that maybe didn't interest them, we were going to do that fairly early on in the agenda. So I'd like to see that move back again. I'm trying to remember when it was scheduled. If you look at the minutes of November, you'll find it right after old business. So, at this moment, I'm going to ask any member of the public present if they wish to participate in any way in this meeting.
Thank you.
Okay. New business. Any members to discuss Mr. Robert Wiener's passing and his dedicated service to the residents of Palm Coast through the Utility Advisory Committee.
This was one of our changes. Originally scheduled, now we have been our presentation of backward connection and rules and methodology of our distribution system. And in lieu of that, in lieu of current events, I thought it was more appropriate to take that 3-minute time slot and apply it to anything we would like to do as a committee for Mr. Wiener's and or his family. I know there was discussion about crafting some type of note or letter. We came up with the concept of a card. Everyone has had an opportunity to sign it, I guess, at this point. I didn't know if you as a group wanted to craft a note, because it's really not appropriate for staff to do that. He was a committee member. You're the committee. So if you wanted to craft a note or discuss amongst yourselves what such a note might say, his wake is at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Funeral services on Saturday. You gentlemen are certainly free to choose and discuss as you will.
Correction, 4 to 7 tomorrow.
I'm sorry.
It's done yet today.
So, there you have it. And then I have a couple of things to discuss past that before. Whatever discussion you want to have, all crafting a note or doing something or honoring him in some special way. How long was he on the board? Since I'm kind of new to this little position, has he been on the board for more than a while? It's one term.
What is a matter of record? I'm tempted to say 2 to 4 years, something like that.
Right. How long is a standard term? 2 years?
3.
3 years?
Yeah.
I was surprised reading his obituary to understand just how extensive his experience and knowledge of the industries that we major form regulate through the city council was. I mean, I was a water management expert.
Thank you.
discussion? Okay, this is something you've seen many, many times before. What this kind of does is shows you that we did hit that 11 million gallon day peak back in June. In 10 and 9, wasn't nearly that high. In 08, it was quite high. And in 06, it was quite high. We're currently running in the 6.5 range. If we were to get a little rain, it would even be less. I completed the annual water demand report, and we took 7.9 million gallons a day out of the ground as an annual average. As part of our allocation of 9.4. So we're running well behind, and that's down a couple hundred thousand gallons a day from last year's average annual day withdrawal.
So what's your reason for
conservation and the economy? I think
less houses pulling more because of the famine.
I think people are using less water per capita. The demand is going down because the majority of homes that are using water today are more efficient. They're using more up-to-date equipment, so that's more efficient use. Many folks who can't afford to use the water are putting in well systems, so they're not using our water for outdoor irrigation purposes. And that's a large chunk of it. And then we don't necessarily have fewer people using water, but as I said, the usage is down for the year. The distributed gallons, if you can believe this, are down to 88 gallons per day per capita, distributed average annual day. And the Water Management District would like to see us maintain 100 gallons per day or less, but they will accept up to 150 gallons a day. And there's some places, Lake Mary, for example, with large landscape wealthy homes, using upwards of 300 gallons per day per capita because they're using so much irrigation water. We have in turn are trying to mature our reclaim water as irrigation water. And so while there's very few residential communities using that today, there are some, more than there were previously, of course. And the golf courses. The conservatory is now starting to use it. The creek course is starting to use it. The town center is using it. So that's helping, too. So all of these things are beneficial to us. Let me pull up the next one. This helps to show you wastewater. This is for 2011, and across the bottom are all months. And what you can see there is the average and max days. And what this particular graph is good at showing is typically in the past when you would have high rainfall months and you had a lot of what's called I&I, I think we might have talked about that a little bit, that's infiltration and inflow into the wastewater collection system from groundwater. When the rainwater is heavily raining out, groundwater comes up, and where it seeps into the pipe, it's collected. And what we've done this past year is we had two rounds, major rounds of smoke testing that you may have heard about. And that's where we identify holes in the pipe, if you will, places where water can get in. And we replaced, I don't know, 2,400 to 2,500 clean-out caps that had been broken on. Clean-out caps that had been broken from lawnmowers, and that happens. And we'll replace them for free. We just need to know about it. Some of those clean-outs are low in the swale, so they would actually drain your swale, potentially. We found folks who had run their gutter system from the roof into their PEP tanks. And so that's a lot of water. And so, you know, we cleaned a lot up. But what this does is it shows you that, we cleaned up a lot of that. These lines would have been much further apart in previous years. So I think that's important to make that. And then
then over here, what the average, these are the static levels. That's plant one's well field. And you can see right here, this is January 2012. So the static level is not as bad as it was last year. 2011 was a pretty good drought, as you can see, because the static levels are very, very low. And we continue that drought, I should note. 2012, we're just a hair above 2011. And, of course, as you've probably been reading in the newspaper, and if you count the number of times you've had to take an umbrella with you lately, it's not very often. And the idea is that this is going to be one heck of a fire season. It's already begun, if you will. Volusia County's got many fires burning brightly today. And so we've been fortunate, but we're going to have to be on guard this year again as we move into the dry spring.
I'm sorry to that disaster on I-75.
Absolutely.
Smoke.
Absolutely. And we all know, those of us who have been in Florida for some number of years, these are the months when morning fog can be the most dense. It has to do with temperature inversion and humidity levels. And you couple that fog up a little bit of smoke, and oh my goodness, you are truly blinded. Here, water plant three, these wells, let's see, there's 2011, that's last year. See how much lower? I think that's the monthly average, I'm sorry. So, so it's right with the five-year average, just slightly below it, and it's considerably above last year. So that's a good thing. Anyway, that's those charts. I know how excited you are to see them all.
Just backing up a minute on the water consumption and pumping.
Yes.
Are we pretty good at the water being pumped close to the water being sold or being distributed? In other words, we aren't losing.
Correct.
A lot
of water. Interesting, you should bring that point up. That would be our unaccounted for water. The difference between the water we bring out of the ground and the water we sell, or some folks call it non-revenue gallons, some folks call it unaccounted for gallonage. In our case, we have to, because we have two membrane plants, we have to generate concentrate. Concentrate is the waters that carry away the minerals that don't go through the membrane. So that's considered water coming out of the ground that's not being sold. Here's the interesting part for you folks to understand. Since last April, at water plant number one, we have been taking the concentrate, which is a fresh, highly mineralized water, from water plant number three, putting it into the raw water pipe from water plant number one, diluting it with the raw water, so that it's just like raw water again, and using it as an alternative water source for water plant one. So what that means is that 20% of water that I brought to the plant and discharged through the intercoastal water line is being recovered, captured, retreated, sold as potable water. And so as a result of that 80% recovery water plant number three, is closer to 98%. So that's a good room. And at water plant two, the other membrane plant, we are currently at 60% design on a zero liquid discharge to treat the concentrate, just like we do at water plant one, except that we'll treat it right on site at water plant two, recovering it. The DEP basically told us they would not renew our discharge permit for that plant because it goes to raw pumps from now. And we can't meet end of pipe conditions for fresh water. And because of that, we have a current permit that allows for an extended mixing zone in the receiving water. And the DEP, because August, Atlanta EPA said, no more. We feel it's a violation of the Clean Water Act. You will not be allowed to have an extended mixing plant. So if you can't meet the permit condition at the end of the pipe, we will not renew the permit. So we did an extensive alternatives analysis, and treating concentrate on site and recovering it as potable water followed the Clean City Initiative, because we're not wasting any water. The allocation that's coming out of the ground is no longer being discharged. It's being recovered, treated, and reused.
Can you do all this? Do you get any aggressive? In other words, if you have a concentrate, and while I put it in plant one, and we reprocess it, and we sell it. Concentrate to me means you pull stuff out that in a particular plant you didn't want to go out to the user.
You're 100% correct. And by doing what we're doing, that concentrate, which, think about this now, the well field that provides the water to water plant number 3, that ultimately is concentrated, is exactly the same well field water that is going to number 1 in. So all we're doing is basically unconcentrating. It has the same constituents in it as raw water, and we are diluting it with raw water, the same raw water, same aquifer, same treatment process goes to water plant 1, and it's completely recoverable. And what it comes down to is that we can now select what contaminant that might have existed recently in concentrate generated. The contaminant is no longer in the mass of water. It's in this little bit of water. And we can treat for just it in that little bit of water. So it's kind of like bucketing, if you will, the bad stuff. And it allows us to take out the bad stuff before we remix it.
That's what I mean. Well, when you take out the bad stuff, is it something that you dispose of?
It's iron, basically, and organics. And they're naturally occurring in every water. And what happens is because they're large enough in terms of their molecular size and weight for them through the membrane to stay in the concentrate, when they get to water plant 1, we treat specifically for those compounds that we don't want to have in the finished water, being iron and organics. And we are exploring so that we can treat a higher volume of concentrate from plant 3 in the future. We're pilot testing different types of other alternative treatment processes, different chemicals, that would help us remove larger quantities of those compounds. The organics, they're color-generating materials, they're naturally occurring tannins in the existing aquifer, and iron, which is in the aquifer. We can't discharge the volumes, actually, of water plant 3 in renewal of our concentrate discharge permit, which we have to maintain as a backup. Iron is an issue. So we may have to treat for iron at plant 3 even before we put it in plant 1's raw water. Yeah, I know. It's a lot of dry, complex, why do I even know this kind of stuff? But importantly, what we're doing is we're eliminating that waste discharge and turning it into a recoverable commodity that we can sell as a potable water. So I'm not, as opposed to paying to monitor and pay for supervisory oversight of the discharge permit, I'm actually selling the water to cover the cost of my treatment of it at water plant 1. And importantly, because I'm not losing that allocation like I used to be, and because Flagler County has a very limited freshwater source for supply, it's waters that we shouldn't have been discharging or we wouldn't want to discharge otherwise anyway. So it's a very clean solution to an age-old problem for Flagler County and for Palm Coast and for the more important residents of Palm Coast.
How long, during the process, how long your membrane will last?
10 years. Membranes are guaranteed for 3 years.
Yeah, but with the process you're doing,
we don't change them. Actually, because of the process we're doing, I can make the membranes work less. You understand? Because generally, a membrane process, you want to recover as many gallons as you can of the water you bring into the plant. It's called recovery. And the more recovery you have, the fewer gallons you're discharging. And remember, the gallons discharged are part of your production cost. So my production cost goes down if I can have a higher recovery. If I take recovery from 80%, where 20% of the water I brought to the plant is being dispelled or discharged, and make it 98% recovery, and sell those gallons, my production cost goes down because I'm not discharging gallons. I'm selling more of my product. And my membrane, therefore, I can reduce the amount of recovery, make the membrane work less, I clean it less frequently, fewer maintenance chemicals, fewer cleanings, the membranes will last longer, fewer turnovers or purchases of new membrane. They're not cheap, I should say. So it's a win-win for everyone who's involved.
What can you do with the yellow out of the water and lemon?
Those are very organics that I'm making reference to. And what happens is, because of the disinfectant that we're using, as opposed, every now and then you'll notice that we're using free chlorine. And everybody complains because they can taste bleach. They can taste chlorine in the water. Well, that's when your water is like, oh, my water's clear now, but it tastes terrible. And what happens is that the bleach, the chlorine, will actually bleach out the yellow and make the water crystal clear, like the early days in ITT. We had started installing and using chloramines, a disinfectant in 1985, to address a byproduct of chlorine reacting with those same organics that cause that color. And that byproduct is a carcinogen, a cancer-causing agent called trihalomethane. And that's a whole other meeting's discussion. But the bottom line is that we use chloramines, so we don't have a carcinogen, but it also means we don't bleach out those organics. But this treatment process improvement that we're looking at will actually help us with that yellow issue. And that's the biggest complaint we have from our customers. You know, everybody, they fill their white bathtub full of water and say, how come the water looks like tea? We didn't even get in it yet. And so, I mean, and that's been a problem literally since 1985 that we've had to address. And especially folks who come in from areas where they had crystal clear water. They say, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Water looks like iced tea. If I have to get on the phone and explain to them what a disinfectant byproduct is, guys, right away, it goes to the top. So, let's see. Matt, I talked this right out of a picture. Okay. I think I've bored everybody enough with that discussion. The other thing that Richard asked me to bring today to the meeting, on these graphs, and John will probably be able to add to this conversation a little bit, and that is the city for about a year has been looking to create a brand. Are you familiar with any of this discussion? John was certainly
saw it on the
phone. Yes, you did. And they wanted to. John and I are very familiar with this, going way back to the ITT Garfield days, when branding a community was an important part of marketing a community. And so I wanted to, Richard asked me to show you this. Hopefully it'll play fine. If you haven't seen it yet, this is on our city's website. I guess we're going to be changing, correct me if I'm wrong, John, we're going to be changing
some of our logos, right, to define the Florida logo. The existing Bonkos logo, I think there's going to be some minor changes to that, am I correct?
Yeah, what they're trying to do is find logos for various events. The Owen Tom Coast, you see a logo, I don't know if it's on the website yet, but if it's a tennis tournament, the O will be a tennis ball. If it's a golf tournament, it'll be a golf ball. If it's a bicycling tournament, you'll see a little bicycle rider there, or a boat, or a steering wheel.
Yes.
A spoke steering wheel.
Right.
So they can kind of customize, we'll be able to customize the logo to our event, but it'll still identify, you'll see Tom Coast in the scroll writing that you see on all the signs, so it'll be easily identifiable.
And anyway, Richard wanted us to bring to your attention that the city's going to be, we have a website for that, a dedicated website for that, I believe. It's all part of the economic development area within the city. The Business Activity Center, the Business Assistance Center, Bob Falgo will be, I guess, taking ownership of all of this if he hasn't already. Oh, and I should tell you, John will support me here. This is all done in-house, I believe.
Yeah, that was done by our video staff, our IT staff. They did all the video. The voice at the end was one of the employees. And I think the an outside marketing firm, Curly Teal,
did
help us with it. The local song by a local singer. He's out of Ormond Beach. He is a professional, obviously. But the video was put together, and I thought a very good job, you know, by the staff.
And you saw the keys indicating, you know, come live here.
It got press on Channel 6, I think, and Channel 13 yesterday. It was released at a workshop Tuesday. But the idea is to get it out there to everybody and make sure everybody's aware of it. If you go to the city website, you will find a direct connection to
it. I'll show you.
Yeah, and that's what you'll see on there. It'll probably change. The first thing change will be vehicles. You'll see some of the vehicles instead of having the brown or oval logo. It'll go to.
See the tennis ball? Oh, is that what you're talking about? Like making pop posts and things?
The ones I've seen are a little bit different. They just take the O and Coast and put the logo or the activity there as opposed to something in the background. And again, I don't know exactly what that'll be up to the marketing department.
You can see it's all built. You see the keys in the upper right corner. And keep in mind, the message is a postcard. Like you would get from Florida.
Yeah, last year, if you remember, the city sent out postcards to all property owners. Come on down to what is great. They own lots of compost, they own lots of compost. They're talking, and they would like to do something, some kind of marketing scheme like that. Maybe send this video to all of them, or send it out to the realtors so they can use it. But hopefully, you'll see it pass it on to friends. And, good snapshot of Tom Coast.
Yep. And of course, with John talking, that leads right into updates for John.
Okay, well, first of all, I just talked to the fire department. Anything they're doing for Bob is in house. Bob was with him for many years, and he's kind of my family. So they're not doing anything publicly. That leaves us. It's up to you to determine what you want when you put this to the city council. Typically, the agenda, I will say, the agenda goes out on Thursday night, so they're getting the agenda right now. The email to them. If you want to do something, we have to move quickly. And the update as far as stormwater goes, well, stormwater engineering, we are continuing on with our modeling and our efforts with our stormwater utility fee, recalculating fees. We thought thought we were done beginning of the week Monday. I thought we were done when we found 76 properties that had been left out, but I think most of those probably will end up in outside the service area, so they won't be built. They weren't previously built, and they will not be built, and some of them are. Some of them did fall through the crack, we had one or two, but we're trying our best to go through that, all the list of properties, and make sure we're all, I think we figured there were 2,600, something like that, that would get recalculated. So those are all done now, and the biggest thing we have to do is finalize Town Center, and the debate with them, they obviously don't want to pay anything. We will probably try to minimize that expense to them because they do considerable maintenance of their own, on their own. So they will get a reduced service credit, which is allowed by the ordinance. And exactly how much that is, we've got to find out what they're willing to do, what they're not willing to do. We have meetings scheduled for next Wednesday on that. Number of legislations this year. One of them has to do with agricultural land that's being assessed a stormwater fee if it's in a stormwater district. There is legislation out there to prevent assessment of that vacant land being used for agricultural purposes and some kind of a stormwater permit where it's permit or an environmental resource permit or a permit by the state or a state program for best management practices.
That the pasture land comes to mind when you talk about that.
Yeah. And it was generated by, I think, some of the people, some of the large landholders had looked at it, and that's House Bill 1021. It's in session right or in committee right now. They're considering. Also looking at what's happening on the water quality front, the EPA on the federal level and the DEP on the state level are arguing about that, as is our justice, the environmental group. So there's all kinds of discussions out there. Nothing's happened. We don't know where it's going. We're trying to be prepared for anything that comes out of the pipe, but we don't know what's coming down the pipe. So that's where our efforts are right now, to stay up on the legislative work on the stormwater assessments, and then maintain the infrastructure as well we can. Replace those pipes before those are repaved, or more pipes to be placed. And stay ahead of the game there, putting in pipes where Valley got a door before. And the utility or the public works is doing all the mowing now in house. That's all we brought in house. Our department is in charge of canals, basically stormwater, as far as keeping our hands off, because we are in contact with that to make sure he does his work. So that's a big one, stormwater, and of course we haven't had a lot of rain, so we haven't had a lot of complaints.
We used to ask you questions about swale maintenance, and that's not your baby anymore, right?
The routine maintenance is not, but we do all the design. We still try to put up 25 miles of swale a year to be rehabilitated, redone, and we provide a design for that. We look at the old original IPP design and make sure the swale works, or if it has to be modified from the original engineers. So that it does work.
Okay.
So we give those plans then to the public works, and they do the actual physical work. Or before we would take the plan and hire a contractor.
They doing that in-house now, or do they also use contractors?
They're doing it in-house. We had a state who borrowed the money from the state, or we got a loan application where we buy equipment for them, so they have the specialized equipment articulating excavators, basically. But that's the grade all 70% of the water costs. And that seems to be the way the future is to save dollars. And some of the contractors don't like it, obviously, as long as we're making a lot of money from it. But that's the way of the world right now.
Final item is discussion of matters not on the agenda. Does anybody have anything to bring up that's not being sort of previously? Anybody? In that case, I will entertain a motion for adjournment. So moved. All in favor?
Aye.
Did you vote?
Did you vote?
I vote for what?
For the adjournment.
Of course.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. We're adjourned. I guess I'm taking Robert Hughes a whole lot too seriously.